Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave.
Playoff,
we're here
baby.
To talk about the Thunder getting to the playoff, play in. But hey,
it's
so much
playoffs,
going
baby.
On. We feel like we got a chance to actually make it to a full playoff round. If we did, we'd be playing against the Nuggets. But before we even could think about that, we'd have to beat the Pelicans and then the loser of the Lakers and the Timberwolves. We've talked a little bit about the Timberwolves recently. They're in disarray, bro, but we've got a lot to talk about. So I'm just going to let you kind of start talking. You were mentioning right before we got on a little bit about the friendship that you noticed in a video between Giddy and Chet and how unusual that is for teammates to be as close of friends. And you had some other examples of players, but tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, so my idea that you see this friendship and this bond between Josh and Chet, you don't see that type of bond with a lot of players and athletes. Typically... especially when they're drafted together. You think of some of the greats, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, they didn't have that friendship. Even to this day, they don't have that friendship. You think of Shaq and Kobe, no, they didn't have that friendship. You think of, LeBron and blank and LeBron and, LeBron and Dwayne Wade. But the reality is that you can't really keep that friendship going through playing together. But you're watching what's happening in Oklahoma City is this bond of brotherhood. It's something that I haven't really seen in other sports before. I mean, I've seen in other sports when it comes to like baseball teams, but they play 162 games together. So they're forced to be out with each other for almost 9 months out of the year. But basketball players, they have an off season, and the off season is long enough where they can go and hang out with anybody they want. So when you see Chet and Josh, that they have this bond and connection and they're doing everything together, to me, it solidifies exactly what's happening in Oklahoma City in a time that the NBA is just fucked when it comes to players. I mean, think about Mason Plumlee, who's one of my favorite guys when it comes to keeping his cool, right? And him and Bones Highland get in a shoving match in a Clippers game. And then you look at it and Rudy threw a punch at Nick. And it's just like, what the fuck's going on? And it's like, this happened on TV. And it's like, why is this all happen? Well, it's because you're taking athletes, right? And you're mixing this in high intensity. And you don't know how everybody's going to react and act. And I think that's why it's so important when you're looking at Sam Presti putting a team together and recognizing that, what I would consider hotheads. You can have a team with one hothead, right? And you can, as a team, calm him down and make them like, hey, it's all right. We got this, right? But if you have a team full of guys like Mason Plumlee, who, runs on hot, and you throw him in there with Bones, and all of a sudden you're going to have an issue because you have two hotheads that are going at it, And it doesn't matter, what team or what organization it is, you're going to have those mentalities and those the way of acting. And so when you see certain guys leave Oklahoma City Thunder, to me, that's what I'm going to be looking at is the guys that don't fit in with that personality. And because it's an organization and loyalty and it's brotherhood that this Oklahoma City Thunder have to keep going, especially with a new CBA that's coming out. And it's incredibly important, bro.
Yeah. One of the things that we've heard a lot of people saying recently, and you said it recently too, was just the new higher importance for the draft in the CBA. And especially for contenders, it's going to be one of the few ways that they have to get better. They need to find a way to keep improving. And unfortunately, a number of the traditional levers that the contenders have pulled to stay good are going to go away with the new CBA. So that's going to leave the pressure on teams to figure out how to maximize the draft even more, which, let's face it, we're set up for that next future of the draft. And we're talking about a team that's about to play the play-in, but also has the most draft capital of any team I've seen before. I know some other teams now have sort of caught up to the Thunder, and they kind of are in a race for most first-round picks and things like that. But the reality is the Thunder set a new standard on how you do a rebuild, but they also managed to find a way to sneak into this play-in game. At the same time, you see a team like the Timberwolves, like you mentioned, they mortgage their future on an experiment that turns out, at the very least, is going to be something that's going to take a lot of healing to ever see come to fruition. So what does it all mean? It means it's a great time to be a Thunder fan.
Yeah, and we were watching the CBA, and there's more information coming out about the CBA and why the draft is going to be more valuable. Mark and I were talking, the old school trading three or four first-round draft picks for a star player is going to be gone. Like, you might be able to get one first round draft pick and two second round draft picks in the future for a star. And it's because there's so much money that goes with it in exchange. And there's so much other things that have to be, you know, just be perfect. And it's not just old school, like, okay, let's go out and get LeBron James and company. Like, you can't, you know, go and recruit anymore. It's going to have to be by the draft and building teams by the draft, because they're going to see the respect and the level that you you can't have superstars and then junk players, you know? And that's what it could turn into, is where you're going to have these massive superstars and then you're going to have players that are just going to be like, whoa, like, these guys wouldn't even make it on a different team. Because then you're going to have other teams that are going to be like what I would think the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to do, right? And they're going to extend these young guys early on in their career and allow this to push out the date that we actually have to pay them. Because I wouldn't be surprised if we come out the second the new CBA comes up, that we extend J-Dub and extend him for, you know, 4 or 5 years at $100 million. Because why wouldn't he do that? You know, why wouldn't he sign that? Because that's what this new CBA is going to allow us to do as the home team. And we'll be able to take control of what happens with these guys early on in their careers and allow them to stay there for much longer than originally people thought.
Yeah, there's a lot of new elements of the CBA. Seems like mostly the structure of things is staying the same, but there's a lot of tweaks. And those tweaks have a lot to do with how teams are going to be building for the future. And I think you kind of hit it on the head with that. And I think it's important for, as the new information keeps coming out, for us to keep looking at it, because there are a lot of external factors that have to do with the NBA that really could affect the Thunder. One of the things that we talk about a lot is an expansion draft and having a plan for that, because that's one of the things that is just a reality of the potential of, you know, the Las Vegas and Seattle getting a new team. Those things could seriously affect where the Thunder, you know, his future is headed. But when you look at the top of it and you look at the guys that really got a chance to take a break and sit out this last game against the Jazz, and we were able to get that win in really a great way. Spectacular game by Trey Mann, great game by Usman Jang. Everybody who played really well, and I loved watching that win. It was a party in the home crowd for everybody who had, you know, really been supporting the team all year long. But as we look into, like, the situation that we're in, the crossroads we're in, right, what do you expect, like, for us this next draft? What do you expect for us this next time where we can sign contracts? You already mentioned that you expect J-Dub to be extended as fast as possible, but Giddy obviously too. What else are you expecting?
I think anybody that we plan on keeping long term, we extend as quickly as possible. As quickly as possible, the new CBA will allow us. The reason is that we got to keep these guys together quickly.
Yeah, I guess that goes back to what you're saying at the beginning, because we've seen a young team that, like, before that the players hung out in separate groups. So this is a new thing for us.
Yeah, and I think what we'll see is you'll see Sam Presti really pick the eight guys that he would protect in an expansion draft. I think that's what it's going to be the most, you know, entertaining thing for me watching is where Sam Presti ranks these guys. And I don't know, man. Like, to me, it's yes, we will have a team that has 12 deep, 13 deep. And I do not expect the way that Coach D substitution that he does and how he just randomly puts some guys in. I don't think it's random, first of all. And I think it's going to be continued, because he has to develop players now, because keeping the guys inside the system is the most important thing. And the only way to do that is develop them through the NBA, you know, using your G League. Again, that's why G League is going to be so important and why the coaching staff is so important. But, you know, I look at and I see we're going about to watch Coach D coach his first playoff game. We're going to watch most of these guys on this team play the first playoff game. We've got Dort. We got Shea. Has Kenny Hustle played playoff a game before?
I don't think so.
So we got two guys? Oh, right, we got Dario too. He's played a playoff game. I don't think we've had anybody else with playoff games. So, and I could be wrong. So if I'm wrong, guys, throw it in the comments. I see all you guys on live chat. What's up, guys? So I just, you know, for me, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, what guys do we need to keep? And I look at this and I say, extend Josh right away. You know, extend Chet right away. Extend J-Dub right away. Extend, you know, as much as you can with the rest of the guys that are going to round out that top eight. and just go with those guys and know that we have X amount of years to win X amount of championships or even one ring. And then it makes it worth it us as we go into the next development stage of who we're going to trade out, who we're going to keep, who's developed into that next slide in position. And, you know, what's good, you know, what players are going to help us keep the longest term for winning a championship there. So, and that's going to have to, you know, come into fruition. But hopefully with this new CBA, we can extend guys quick enough where we don't have to think about that for maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, dude. And I love it. I love the idea that there's going to be more of what we love the most, right? Which is leaning into development. But let's kind of step back and say, okay, that's big picture stuff. That's, we get excited about all that stuff, but let's talk about this upcoming game Wednesday. We play against the Pelicans. Pelicans have given us trouble. Brandon Ingram can shoot the hell out of the ball. Trey Murphy is a baller. They've got a team that's playing really, really well right now. We do have an opportunity to beat them. And if we beat them, and we assume Minnesota will lose to the Lakers, but nothing's a given. But if something like that happens, we could find our way into the playoffs. But we want to talk just about Wednesday first. So what do we need to do to beat the Pelicans?
Well, first off, we have to use our offense as the key. We have to set the tone early on and consistently, because if we can attack downhill on them and get their big guys in trouble, it changes the entire landscape of how they're going to play the game. And especially in the second half, if we can keep on getting downhill, what they'll end up doing is really trying to cut that off. And we'll end up having guys out on the floor when they have 2 or 3 big guys on the floor trying to shut us down, getting to the hole. And we'll just have guys hitting and knocking down threes in the second half. So for me, it's all about getting downhill, opening these shots up in the second half, and just taking, you know, advantage of them just being what I would consider lazy on their substitutions. I'm not saying anything negative about their coach, but I've noticed that there is a way that he coaches that I would even consider a lazy substitution way. And it's just because he tries to get certain players more playing time. And I get it. But if I'm looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, I'm Coach D, I'm circling that and saying, that's all we have to do is get him in one of those, you know, pits where he's like, no, this team is going to be all right. This team is going to be right. They're going to be all right. And we can get up on them, you know, double digits really quickly. So for me, that's what we're going to need to do on offense.
So offensively for us, one thing, well, let's talk about the defense for New Orleans. They have length on the wing. They can send multiple defenders at Shai. They've defended him as well as anybody. Am I wrong about that?
I would say there's a couple other teams that I would say have defended Shai incredibly well. But, I mean, you're not too far off on that.
It's Pelicans a handful of
being
teams
able to play defense.
Because of their length, because of their versatility, their ability to slide, and they send 2 players that are taller and longer than Shai at him, and it creates all sorts of, like, issues. Now, it's stuff we can overcome. And last time we played the Pelicans, I felt like we did better. And I felt like we've gotten better since then. So I think that Shai's seen a lot of different double teams coming from different angles in different ways. Teams trapping early in possessions, early in the shot clock, which we weren't seeing early on. So I think he's going to handle that better. But that to me is a big question, is how are they going to defend Shai and how do we respond to it?
Yeah, and we can look at Shai like as that. But I also look at the second team. And I say the second team, I look at Lindy Waters. I look at JRE. Some of these guys on the second team are going to really have to step up. Isaiah Joe, we're going to need a big game out of at least 2 of the bench players that are going to get significant minutes. I think we'll probably go with 8 or 9 guys deep. We're not going to go very deep, but I do expect Lindy Waters to get some playing time because he's been playing incredibly well on defense, hitting some big-time shots, doing some things that making people like scratch their head and saying, how did we miss Lindy Waters? And to me, like, he's proving that he deserves more time out there. So I love the fact that we'll get Lindy Waters out there. And I think it's, you know, one of those things where we look at this last game that we played and we went 5 deep, really, because Lindy Waters didn't play and Isaiah Joe didn't play. And I think we did that on purpose because those 5
Waters,
guys, I don't think we're going to lean on the playing time. Well,
Waters
Lindy Waters, I think we
played
are.
Like 5 minutes each.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was indicative of saying, like, those guys are the first two guys off the bench. Now, maybe not, like, I would say that some of the other guys in that game showed Coach that maybe he can go to them early. But the rotation, going only 7 deep, playing 5 guys about 40 minutes, and then 2 guys around, like, under 10, Like, that's why I think Waters is kind of up there in Coach's book. And why has Waters moved so far up in Coach's book? It's because the way he defends. His point of attack defense is really, really good, right? But then on top of that, he's a very quick thinking help side defender.
Yeah.
So when he sees a player going into a spin move, he's Johnny on the spot, creating the deflection. If the ball is loose for half a second, he's going to push it out and we're going to get running the other way. He creates transition opportunities for us because of his defense. And then his like known skill in the NBA is his shooting. And that's kind of been hit or miss as he's developed into this elite opportunistic defender, which is really important to have because, you know, a lot of times you'll see guys that are maybe like 6'10" who have that mentality, but guys who are small who have the mentality can always find themselves in the middle of a jump ball, of a dogfight. They can create opportunities. There's nothing better than a guy like Tony Allen who finds a way to compete on every possession and get his nose in there and find ways to create extra opportunities for your team. And I feel like Lindy Waters is kind of developing into that.
Yeah, and we can take what we've learned from what I would consider Aaron Wiggins' fourth quarters as really what's going to happen with this Oklahoma City Thunder team moving in the future is that we're going to have players that are only going to be seen in that fourth quarter. And, you know, I think back to when we had certain players with Coach Coach Donovan. He would play in the first quarter or whatever, get him warmed up, and then you wouldn't see him again until the fourth quarter. I think that's a style that Sam Presti really admires in the aspect of when you have a coach that sees what works and then, okay, that works. I'm going to wait until the fourth quarter to execute that because that's going to add 14 points to that quarter. And a team's not going to be able to adjust to that quickly. That is, in my opinion, one of the elite things that Coach D does is that he adds Aaron Wiggins or Lindy Waters or Isaiah Joe in that fourth quarter where a team doesn't have a chance to stop and adjust to him. So, you know, guys, Wednesday, look for that. Look for the fourth quarter guy that Coach D is going to put in that you haven't seen a lot in the game before, in previous minutes. That maybe got only 2 or 3 minutes and then all of a sudden gets thrown back out there. And I love it, dude. I love the fact that he rewards these guys for playing really, really hard. And maybe it's not something that you see right away, but they all understand that they work hard, they do what it takes, and they're going to get some playing time. And I think Wednesday night, our defense is going to be the key to winning the game. The way that we're able to close out and get around the screens, the way that we're able to utilize what Dort is really good at and what Jay Will is really good at and getting the extra possessions that we need. If we could get, I don't know, 3 or 4 charges from Jay Will and the same from Dort, and then you throw Isaiah Joe in there, get a couple, we could get extra, you know, 8 or 10 possessions from these guys. And also we're in a situation that we're all looking at this saying, you know, we could win this. And to me, those extra possessions are everything in the game. They always say 6 extra possessions could lead to, you know, any team winning. And that's, you know, as what a referee would say, you know, so they have the power like that. But imagine us taking control of that by adding 8 to 10 possessions in a close game like this that I think it's going to be like a close game. So to me, it's all about that and what this team can do when the time is on the line, you know, and you're looking at it saying it's fourth quarter. You know, what can Jay Will get? What can Dort get? What can we get out of Isaiah Joe? You know, and the list goes on because it takes a whole team to win, but that fourth quarter is so crucial. And allowing Shea to get that 7 minutes, 5 minutes, I don't know what he'll get in the playoff time, but that time right there is crucial so that Shea can come back in and dominate the rest of the game. Again, when Coach throws him in there, it's completely like, okay, how are we going to guard Shea now? And it really throws a wrench into what the team is playing defense like.
Yeah, adjustments and adjustments on top of adjustments. I heard Coach Daigneault talking about in a 7-game series, you know, at the end of the series, you're going to be in a different spot when it comes to like strategy and stylistics of your defense and things like that. 1-game series, you know, you're going to start and you're going to end at the same spot. This feels a lot like we're going into the college basketball tournament, and you can never ask for anything more from this young team at this point because, let's face it, their average age is around college age. So,
yeah,
pretty impressive, and this is an experience, win or lose, that they're going to learn from. It's going to be really positive, but we can hope for at least one more game. Hey, we appreciate you guys joining us, and we will see you live for the game. Thunder up, everybody.